Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Catherine Slyke, author of Hollywood and Catholic Women, Virgins, Whores, Mothers, and Others Images, which evolved from her master's thesis. She just actually published the second edition through iUniverse. Her book is an interesting and thought-provoking analysis about Hollywood's portrayal of Catholic women. Hollywood and Catholic Women promotes opinionated discussion amongst women in general, so it is a great read for book clubs. And as a Catholic race woman, I was very curious about this book, and was actually happy to discover an eye-opener for all women in general, as women are not always treated as equals in society and many religious institutions still in our current times. But before we start, let's learn a little bit about Catherine. Catherine Slyke has over 25 years freelance writing experience. She has written for both nonprofit and for-profit organizations and relaunched her freelance writing business in 2012. It is called The Last Word, LLC. Slyke has a Bachelor of Science in Journalism from Iowa State University and a Master's of Arts in Mass Communication from California University, Fresno. She has been published both regionally and nationally. Slyke resides in Woodbury, Minnesota, a suburb of St. Paul. Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
Great, Susan. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really excited about having you here today because I'm a Catholic myself, and so I'm very intrigued about your book, Hollywood and Catholic Women. And I know that this is the second edition, and you based your topic on your master's thesis. So I'm wondering, how do you choose this topic the first time around during your thesis?
The first time to choose it for my thesis, I had two main reasons. My conversion to Catholicism as an adult was one of them, and the second one was my marriage to an ordained Catholic deacon. Because of those two elements, I became interested in how Catholic women were portrayed, because filmmakers so often are fascinated by Roman Catholicism. And I think that one of those reasons is because all of the rituals and symbols of Catholicism translate to visual media so well. And in addition, you know right away that a viewer is Catholic by simple acts such as them crossing themselves. And so it really translates to the film medium.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, we do believe in visuality in the church. Everything is... I remember when I was growing up, actually, I would do the sign of the cross every time we went through in front of a church. And it did. I don't know why. It's just something my mom did, and so we did it. And of course, I don't do that anymore because it can get, you know, I mean, repetitive. Just imagine there's churches everywhere now.
Right.
So, but it is a very visual, ritual, faith-driven religion. So, I am wondering also, you have updated this. You first published it. And then now you came out with the second edition, and I know that you have updated with new films and TV series. Why the need of updating? Were you intrigued? Were you continuing the study of how it has evolved, or what are the reasons of the second edition?
What convinced me to do a second edition of Hollywood and Catholic Women was a TNT program created by Nancy Miller called Saving Grace. And it was a very positive image of a lapsed Catholic who was a police detective, who was a very flawed individual. Grace drinks too much. She's prone to violence. She has many, many sexual encounters. And she wasn't at all punished for those indiscretions, as you will, but rather was shown as just a flawed individual who is admired and respected by people. And I started thinking, this is a really positive, groundbreaking portrayal. And I think I want to update the book. And so essentially, Saving Grace, starring Holly Hunter, is what made me decide to go ahead and put in all the time and effort to update and make a second edition.
Do you find that is, I mean, is your studies with this book, your research, based only focused on how Hollywood portrays Catholic women, or do you find yourself speaking of Catholicism portrayal of women?
The latter. Because in the original thesis, and we addressed those questions in the second edition as well, one of the things I found is that women are still struggling to break the bonds of patriarchy within the Catholic Church, Hollywood, and Western society, all of which are patriarchal systems. And as women's stature has increased in a very positive way in society, for example, the Catholic hierarchy is woefully out of touch. And the same tends to be true in Hollywood. And so that was one of the major things to look at, and there were a series of questions posed in both editions, and one of those was talking about the fear and mistrust of women that is so often evident in patriarchal structures and how those feelings of hatred translate into film.
I remember when I was in high school, more or less, my brother used to go to this place, and I grew up in Venezuela in South America, so my brother would go to this Catholic school. We both grew up in missionary school, and he would go to this, I guess it would be like a today's youth group that the church has. And the reason he stopped going is because he didn't like precisely how they referred to women. And, you know, how they would say that they were temptresses and that they needed to stay away, because he couldn't help but relating the term women to his own mother and his sisters and so on. So he stopped going to that particular group, but that didn't jeopardize his strong beliefs in Catholicism. He just didn't go to that particular group. Do you think it's something that is brought in the Catholic Church where women are still seen like the one that tempted Adam, or is this something that is just, you know, some churches do it, some priests do it, or is this something that reflects on Hollywood? I mean, I'm just very intrigued on your title that is talking not just about women as a, I want to say, second-hand citizen, but also as tramps and temptresses. Or
right. And I think those roles are evidenced definitely very much so in the Catholic Church. And as the Church, since Vatican II, has not become more liberal but more conservative, it seems to be getting worse. And you just look at incident after incident. And it's, you know, I want to be cautious in taking on the Catholic Church. I am no longer Catholic because of their views of women as second-class citizens, but they couch it in the idea that women and men both have complementary roles, but women cannot be priests because there were no disciples that were female, and so on and so forth. And I think the problems that your brother had with those same ideas exist, and they are becoming even more so as the church becomes more conservative. And I personally think that the Catholic Church is woefully out of touch about how women are perceived, and they continue to perceive this as second-class citizens, basically. There is a section in the book that talks about the relationship, it's a brief section, of the relationship of the Catholic Church with women throughout history. And so, for example, in the early church, there were deaconesses, and the church threw up roadblock after roadblock, much of it beginning with menstruation, to keep women off the altar and make that very natural process seem as something dirty. And so they have systematically pushed women away. And, of course, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, no, and I think that it is interesting to listen from you that as time moves on, things get worse, because usually you would think that things will progress. I mean, before, I remember growing up, women were not allowed, not even to help with the communion.
Right.
Now you see women helping communion. So it kind of gives an idea that things are progressing
evolving to a more current time. But in retrospect, you say that actually they're getting more conservative and worse, and I think that is actually true in many points that the church has. And I am still Catholic, and I still struggle, and I do. I am a very independent person. I can almost say that it's a matriarch in my family. I do struggle with that, though. I do struggle, especially with all these documentaries on History Channel, you know, about Mary Magdalene and, you know, and the things that are discovering and a bunch of texts, ancient texts that they discover and scrolls here and there. And so it makes you wonder, you know, what is it? And the way I deal with it is to remember that it is an institution. Church is an institution, no matter what religion it comes from, and it was founded by men.
Yes, and that is a very important point.
Mm-hmm. So
that is a very important point.
So it really has nothing to do with faith, but, you know, it's just rituals and stuff are really just founded by the men who created the church, who founded the church, because I don't think the church was created.
And who wrote the Bible.
Exactly.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Well, there's actually the Bible was not even written by just men. It was just edited. By men, you know?
I shouldn't laugh.
Because there were many letters from Mary Magdalene that were not put in the Bible. And there were many letters from other apostles that were not put in the Bible. And as an editor myself, I know that when you make choices and you make decisions, you look for consistency, you look for flow, and you look for many things to make easy for the reader to interpret. And so many of that might have gone there, and I think that many of that was also biased because they were all men. So it is interesting to see how things work. But your book focuses on how this Catholicism portrayal transfers into the Hollywood scene. Have you, other than Saving Grace, what have you found that people, I mean, have you get feedback when you talk to people about what they think on the women in the shows that you have analyzed in your book? And I'm going to give an example with the nun in the movie Doubt, because I did read your analysis on that and I found it very interesting.
The kind of feedback I get is generally from Catholics and Catholic women. And one of the things about Doubt is that people said to me that they didn't even realize what was happening in Doubt. And I would categorize Doubt as more of a negative portrayal because the sister wants to get rid of Father Flynn because she believes there has been an inappropriate relationship with a student. But in order to do that, she is very manipulative and she lies. And in the end, she has her own doubts about whether what she did was even right. Now, he gets promoted, which I think is a nod to the way that priests have been systematically moved around with the huge sexual abuse scandal. But, I mean, she does suffer for her consequences for what she has done. And the bad news is that in order to get rid of Father Flynn, she has to lie.
Which is, in retrospect, you know, very awful sin, too, in the Catholic point of view. And so hurting somebody through lies. But on the other hand, makes you wonder how she was driven to do that, being a woman in the Catholic Church. Is not being regarded as an equal, or she can communicate as easily as if she would have been a man.
Exactly. And in Doubt, there are very stringent points about them saying that they are not equals with their priestly peers, and that the relationship, you know, their door must be open when a priest is in their office, for example. And it's all very strict in the way that the relationship is done, and the priest always has the upper hand. And I found that in a lot of the films, particularly the older films. But Doubt, of course, is happening in 1964, and I think that whole idea of what happens in the improper relationship is filtered through the relationship of the current sexual abuse scandal. In reality, in 1964, the Catholic Church probably wouldn't even have cared.
Oh, what she had to say.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think I agree with that.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Catherine Fleiss, author of Hollywood and Catholic Women. Stay tuned because we are going to continue this personal and interesting conversation with Catherine and learn more about how Catholic women are portrayed in Hollywood and also how women in general are seen in today's society. But in the meantime, if you want to check out her website, it is www.womenwrite.com, and that is www.women-write.com. It's contradictory because to me, because most of the strongest women that I have met, and I know people from all faiths, are Catholic, especially my grandmothers who grew up, who had to raise families during World War II in Italy. I've known nuns that were missionary where I went to school that had to face so many things as nuns in a land in South America where was not developed when they got there. I mean, their strength is amazing, and yet what they had to say was not important to this people. So, yeah, it is contradictory. I wonder, with your books, did you focus this? What was your goal with this documenting this fact? What was the first goal that you had, and did it change by the time that you came out with your second edition?
An important goal of the book is to raise the consciousness of younger women so that they are aware of everything in feminism that has gone on before them. And I say that because not only women but men as well all need to understand that there is still much room for improvement in those images, and also that patriarchy can be detrimental to both men and women. And many young women in particular take for granted their status in life and the positive strides that have been made and greatly improved their lives. And I want this to serve as a reminder that there is still a lot of work to be done. And the other objective I have is because feminist scholarship isn't proliferating as much as it should be, that another objective is to encourage others to take up the study of the image of Catholic women in film and television and continue the research.
Do you think this topic could be a meeting ground for Catholic, traditional Catholic women and liberal women and, you know, of all faiths, where, because there's so much opposition in between lifestyles, between women who are more liberal in their thoughts and in their own confidence of what their role is as a woman, and the traditional Catholic women. Do you think this topic could be a meeting ground for these women to come together and make it better for all?
Ideally, I would like to see that happen. It's kind of like the way politics are now in the U.S., and it's, you know, there are two very distinct sides, and there's great division. But I think, you know, if we look at how the portrayals of Catholic women are improving, I think both sides could look at certain portrayals and say, yes, that's true. I mean, for example, Sister Helen Trojan, you know, might be a nun, but it is a very positive image of a woman who chooses to be a nun. Her reason is to give back to the community because she is coming from a wealthy family. And Sister Helen is secure in her choice and her relationship with the Catholic Church. She takes on one of the priests who tries to demean her and doesn't have any problem standing up to him, and is very comfortable in who she is. You can contrast that with Sister Luke in the nun story, whose choice of life as a nun is really one of the only options that she has available to her to further her career in medicine. So I think, you know, you have a situation where you have two portrayals of nuns, and I think one is very, very positive, and that both sides could agree that that is very, very positive, and others that are not.
I am curious, and I'm going to get a little bit personal. You mentioned before that you are no longer a Catholic.
That's correct.
But you started as a Catholic already as an adult. So
I converted to Catholicism as an adult, yeah.
Yes. So my interest in asking this question is I'm curious, because most Catholics that I know started just by tradition, like me. You know, we were baptized and since we were little, and that's the end of it, and we just kept on with the faith. But for somebody, or some have moved on to other faiths for not agreeing, and others still struggle with some things like I do, and doesn't do a leap either way. So my question to you is, as a person who chose Catholicism and converted to it and then chose to get out, what was it exactly, what drew the line for you to say, no, I cannot continue here? And what motivated you to become a Catholic?
What motivated me is probably the dumbest reason in the world, but I really liked the music. So, you know, I had that. And then I met my husband-to-be at a Catholic church. What convinced me to leave is that after my husband became an ordained Catholic deacon, which is an ordained position within the church, we chose to get divorced. And because of that, and because of the, we'll say, ensuing scandal, I decided that this was very, very hypocritical, because you can't have someone standing up there talking about, you know, the Catholic Church when you are, in fact, having an illicit relationship. And when we divorced, because of that, I just thought, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. Now, I have moved to a Lutheran church that is very similar in terms of the rituals and the things that I spent over 20 years being Catholic, and that I'm very comfortable with. However, they have a women priest. They can say not mass, but they can do the service, they can do baptisms. And it's, to me, and this is just my personal opinion, the Lutheran church that I go to writes everything that I think personally is wrong with the Catholic Church.
I went to a German school, and a lot of my friends there were Lutherans, and so I'm very familiar with the Lutheran faith, because I would sometimes go to my friend's house and, you know, sleepovers on Saturdays, and I would go to actually to Mass with them and then go home. So I find them very similar.
Yeah.
They're very nice and comforting, and many of the charities that I've done have been through the Lutheran Church with homeless more than the Catholic one. For some reason, it's just things that happen. You know, you meet people or whatever, and you just go. I just go everywhere. I'm all over the place. But so I find it interesting that you went to the Lutheran Church. Absolutely.
I think it's just because, I mean, we were married over 20 years, and we're very involved in the church, and you get, even though you may not agree with everything, I mean, it does become a fabric or a part of your life. And I really wanted to move back to something that was structured, but where women were not treated as second-class citizens or alienated, as they, I believe that they tend to be in the Catholic Church.
Have you gotten any response from a church member or anything about your book at all?
No, I have not. And I must say that I didn't with the first edition. I did have the University of South Carolina use it in their religious studies program, and that was very gratifying because that's really one of the target audiences for the book is women's studies programs and religious studies programs at colleges and universities. But I haven't, and that's not to say that I won't. I mean, I would welcome that dialogue.
I want to mention to our, we're getting closer to that time, so I want to mention your website because I think this topic is very current and interesting to women no matter what their faith is. And your website is www.women-right.com, and that is www.women-right.com. Encourage everybody to go to your website and check out on your free articles and read a portion of your analysis on that movie Doubt, which I found very interesting. I want to ask you, who should read your book according to your, as an author? Who do you want to see reading your book? Other from Catholic women.
I want to see women in women's studies programs, definitely, just to expand their horizons about something that they maybe haven't thought about. And again, that goes back to the feminist question that this current generation really doesn't understand that the struggle to fight the bounds or bonds of patriarchy is still going on. And I think women that are interested, and men, people who are interested in film scholarship, certainly, and religious studies. So there would be three major areas, and I'm sure that there would be more. And it's the kind of book that I've been told by several people that they're using it in their book clubs. And again, it's just something that a lot of people, both male and female, haven't thought of before. And if I can pique people's interest and expand their horizons and get them to think about this issue and perhaps challenge it, that is my ultimate goal.
Have you gone to speaking events within churches, and what type of reception have you found, if you have?
I have not yet. I mean, the book has just been newly released. That doesn't mean that that won't happen. I will certainly be open to that. What I'm hoping for, I would love to speak at women's studies departments or programs, particularly at Catholic universities. And there are a lot of them here in Minnesota, and I would absolutely love that opportunity.
I think it will be very beneficial to young women to listen to what you have to say in this book. And I find it very, very interesting, and I for sure will recommend it to my Catholic friends.
Thank you.
Because I think it's interesting, and I can't believe I'm the only one that struggles with it, so it will bring some ground for me, you know, like an interesting topic between me and my friends reading your book. I can't tell you just how happy I am to have had the opportunity to talk to you about this. Is there any message that you want to give to all the young women out there who are beginning to, you know, venture into life and question their own faith and trying to find themselves?
I guess the message would be it is absolutely okay to question your faith. And if you have questions, ask them, pursue them, and maybe even challenge them. And do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to ask questions and challenge your faith and expand your horizons.
Well said. And then in the end, the decision of what road to go is ultimately yours. But do so, you know, with education, not with, you know, just impressions.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I agree 100%. Thank you so much, Catherine. This has been a great interview. I could speak about this all day long, but unfortunately we have to move on. And tell our listeners, where can they find your book?
My book can be found on my website, which again, as you mentioned, is www.women-write.com or on the iUniverse site, which is iUniverse.com.
Great. And again, the title is Hollywood and Catholic Women, and this is the second edition.
And I would also just mention that we have also published an e-book, so if you are budget conscious, that version is $3.99, and you can't argue with that, and I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and you're saving a treat, too. I'm beginning to get into e-readers myself, so.
Great.
Yeah, save a treat. But, yeah, this is great. I am going to keep you posted on my conversation with other Catholic women about your book. So I think it will be interesting. Maybe we can do like a Skype thing group or whatever. I think it's very interesting to discuss.
I would be very open to that.
Great. And again, thank you for being here. And listeners, thank you so much for listening. Check out her website. And until next time.